C1 AP. Number 18A.
We come now to the next vision, the fifth vision of soul. We had the vision of life as analysis, the opening of the seven seals. Then we had the vision of truth as the uncovering of error with the angels blowing the trumpets. And now we come to the vision of soul, which shows the annihilation of evil. So we see at once that when we touch this vision, that it has all to do with how to annihilate evil from the point of view of the seven synonymous terms, because again we will have the seven angels with the seven last plagues, and they will show how we can annihilate evil, not only analyze it, not only uncover it, but also annihilate evil. We must not forget what has been stated before. Before we had that description of the seven angels that came out of the temple of God with the cycle in their hand, and they had to show, first of all, that evil is nothing, because only if we first see that evil is nothing, then we can annihilate evil. So within the preceding chapters, we could see how they would show that if we go out from principle and from the everlasting gospel which was preached in heaven, that from that standpoint it was shown that Babylon is fallen, that it is a nothing, that all material knowledge, everything that is built on the foundation of mortal knowledge, of human knowledge, is nothing. And because it is nothing, it has then been shown at the point of soul. You remember that sin finds its own punishment, whereas the saint find their own recompense. And then showed how we must, through the sickle of spirit, make a clear distinction between what has to be seen as nothing and what has to be seen as good and something. And so the tone of life, truth and love that came afterwards was showing that those three angels coming out of the temple were depicting at the point of life that the fields are always ripe for harvest, the time is always ripe for harvest, that the fullness is always there, is always at hand, but that therefore the sickle of the sharp sickle then of truth would destroy all the tares and gather the wheat into the barn, and therefore show at the point of love that the wheat and the tares of the earth, that the wine of the earth would be trodden in the wine press of the wrath of God without the city, that it is destroying itself and therefore shows its nothingness. It is all a picture of how we bring, from the point of view of principle and the interpretation of principle, the understanding that the opposite of principle, Babylon, is nothing, that evil is nothing. But now he wants to show that this insight that evil is nothing is not enough, that we must have a consciousness that makes nothing of nothingness. that it really can fill one's consciousness to that degree, that it is so full that we can demonstrate the nothingness of nothing, that we must therefore see first the nothingness of evil, and with that then really prove the nothingness of nothing. These are the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. So the fifth vision of soul will deal with all that. Again, the end of the last vision was, and I read it, the angel gathered the vine of the earth, see, it's not the oil of inspiration, it's the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now we will witness then that wrath of God in the winepress will really prove the nothingness of nothing. So it is cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, error was destroying error, and blood came out of the winepress. Blood was always a sign of destruction, of death, of the warfare. So the tone was the wrath of God and the treading of the winepress. Now the wrath of God was always a symbol for the fact that the Christ truth is coming to every counterfeit and makes nothing of the counterfeit. This then is experienced from the human standpoint, from the temple standpoint, as the wrath of God. Instead of saying that it is the Christ that is at work, from the human standpoint we feel that Christ is coming and is overturning and overturning and overturning and is destroying all that which does not belong to the divine nature until the true sense of things is established. Now, when we come to this new vision of soul, the text starts right out again with that wrath of God. Chapter 15 says, and I just read various verses out of that chapter. You don't need really to try to follow me in the Bible. It says, and I saw another sign in heaven. So it's another sign. Great and marvelous. It's again great and marvelous. Namely, seven angels. Again, we have the seven. Having the seven last plagues filled with the wrath of God. So you can see the bridge is being built here. Now the wrath of God is seen now as a new sign in heaven, as a sign that is great and marvelous, not really depressing, where we really begin to evaluate the wrath of God rightly and say, actually, behind the wrath of God is not something very evil, very discordant, and something which we don't like, but that we really should like it, that we should see behind it really something great and marvelous, namely the workings of the Christ. So those seven angels here depict again the seven numerals of infinity, therefore those seven ideas that characterize the seven synonymous terms, and it is said that they are having the seven last plagues. The seven last plagues are therefore the counterfeit of the numerals of infinity. They are the illusions. We find here really the point in our study where we said, let's go and study the seven synonymous term. Let's find out what are the ideas characterizing each synonymous term. But we also said, let's also make a list of all those plagues, of all those counterfeits that characterize the seven synonymous terms. And in this way, the seven angels had the seven last plagues. They could handle the seven counterfeits. We never can have an idea without at the same time know what the counterfeit is, and see that the counterfeit is the wrath of God, filled with the wrath of God, that they are the very opposite of God, and therefore need to be destroyed. And they which had gotten a victory over the beast and its image, and over his mark and the number of his name, and see, he blends back to that 13th chapter with the beast that came out of the sea and the beast that came out of the earth, and that the beast has a name, and that the number of that name was 666. So he blends back and says, those who have overcome that, those who have overcome that mortal sense of manhood, the 666, sing now the song of Moses, the servant of God. That's the word. Moses always stood for the word of God. And the song of the Lamb, the song of the Christ. Again, you hear the Revelator is depicting the story constantly from the background of the Word and the Christ, and tries then to push forward. And it says, and the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony on heaven was opened. So the tabernacle was always a symbol for the unity of God and man, way back with Moses, and that was opened. It was no more closed, it was no more hidden away in the Holy of Holies, where only once in a year the high priest was allowed to enter. Now the wall of partition, the veil, is now broken and is now rent, and one can see now the tabernacle of the testimony on heaven was opened. And that brings us into a sense of Christianity where man sees that he can enter the holiest of holies, that he is not constantly shut out of the holiest of holies in the tabernacle. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues. And one of the four beasts, John Dolly defined that four, one of those four beasts, and one of those four beasts, he calls that beast Christianity, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. And you hear it's constantly about the wrath of God. It's constantly about the sense that the angels can destroy and annihilate everything that is the opposite, the counterfeit of God. And the temple was filled, and this is interesting, and the temple was filled with a smoke from the glory of God and from his power. So he presents really now the temple filled with the glory of God. And within that temple, which is open, he can see the seven angels, he can see the seven synonymous terms and their ideas, and can see that they can handle the seven last plagues through the seven vials, through pouring out, really the vials, through pouring out the blessing of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. They can handle the counterfeit sense of the seven synonymous terms. And now comes the point, and no man was able to enter into that temple. The temple was open, he said. Huh? The temple was open, but nobody could enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. That's very clear. We can never really enter the temple into the Holy of Holiness until we have laid down all the counterfeit nature of the seven synonymous terms. We cannot enter the Holies of Holies with all our negative thoughts, with all our negative traits of character and so on. They all have to be cleansed. They all have to be handled through the seven angels and the seven vials. So, taking that as a great introduction, that the 15th chapter, a very short chapter here, is, so to say, setting the stage for what is to come. It sets the stage and says, look here, I have shown you before in the vision of love, I have shown you that evil is nothing. But now you have to go and demonstrate the nothingness of nothing. You have to understand the nothingness of nothing, and you have to demonstrate the nothingness of nothing. How are you going to do that? Now the temple is open, it's full of the glory of God. You can go out from the whole vision of God, from the whole glory of God. You can go out now from all the seven synonymous terms, and with the ideas of these synonymous terms, the angels, you can pour that out on the plagues, on the seven last plagues, on the noumenon sense of the plagues. The plagues in its noumenon sense, you can pour it out and destroy it in your temple, in your consciousness. So only in that way you can truly enter the temple and there be at one in the holiest of holies. So it's a good picture of the scientific translation, also of the divine mind, the scientific translation that pours out from the standpoint of God the ideas, and the second translation, the translation of mortal mind, annihilates all that is unlike God and brings out in the third degree really the true ideas, the true qualities of God, and in that measure we enter the temple. I think when it's just a matter of really being able to understand a little bit the symbolism of Revelation, and then one sees at once the correlations of the parallel symbolism of the textbook. So we come in chapter 16. You have that now on your study material 8. We come to chapter 16 in the middle of the page. And in that chapter 16, the Revelator tells now about the pouring out of the seven vials of the wrath of God in a step-by-step way. The interesting point is that he does that through the inverted word order. You know the word order, and the inverted word order is naturally just starting at the end, and so that it is love, then truth, then life, principle, soul, spirit, mind. We have been contemplating this inverted word order quite a bit in syllabus class. Those who were in the syllabus class know more about it. And but because not everybody has been there, I just make a few remarks on that inverted word order. As he said in Revelation, that the temple was filled with the glory of God and with the power, and with the power somehow, what was it? Yes, and from his power, it depicts that in seeing the, in demonstrating the nothingness of nothing, you really should go out from the glory of God. Therefore, not find your way up to God. With that way, we can only seek the nature of God and therefore analyze the nature of God. But actually, in order to be able to annihilate everything that is unlike God, we must have the fullness of the divine consciousness, the fullness of God in consciousness, Therefore, we must go out from the highest point, from the point of perfection, from the glory of God, which is love. And only from the standpoint of love can we look back, so to say, on the world order and see that therefore nothing that is contrary to the synonymous terms everything that is contrary to the seven synonymous terms is not godlike, but unlike God, and therefore with the knowledge of the seven synonymous terms we can in consciousness annihilate the concept of the counterfeits. But that we must do from the fullness of God, from the glory of God. Therefore, we go out from love and look back on truth and see that everything that is not like truth cannot exist and can be annihilated, that anything that is unlike life cannot exist, is a nothing, and therefore can be annihilated, and so with principle, and then with soul, and with spirit and mind. This is the way that the Revelator is showing the method of handling error and proving its nothingness. Now, this is something that has been seen in Revelation round about 1946. I say this date because way back before that time, John Dolly was teaching the very same thing without knowing really that he was using the authority of Revelation, because he was telling us always that as he began to study the days of creation and the numerals of infinity, and then even more when he was studying the seven synonymous term, he would always spend a few hours in the morning in his nice big chair contemplating what it means. What does it mean that God is mind and the ideas of mind? What is spirit? What are the ideas of spirit? What does that mean? What is soul? What are the ideas of soul? What does it mean? And principle and life and truth and love. And he would fill his consciousness constantly with that word order. And he would take that word order and embed in that consciousness his patience and the treating of the patient. He put it right into that wonderful contemplation, what is mind, how mind unfolds to the point of spirit, how spirit unfolds to the point of soul, that is the principle of being, that principle of being demonstrates itself as life and as truth and as love, and was just always contemplating this way and was trying in this way to treat the patients too. Then, after he had done that for a while, over years, he said that suddenly one day he felt that this was not a very efficient method, that actually he was constantly building up something and trying to annihilate its counterfeit while building up something, whereas he felt suddenly from one day to the other, actually I should go out from the glory of God. The temple is filled with the glory of God, from the fullness of what he has built up in his contemplation, in his prayerful attitude, and deal with the patient and with error from the throne of grace, from love. And from that point on, he usually used then the inverted word order when it was a matter of seeing and proving the nothingness of an erroneous claim. And that he was doing that already so at the end of the 30s, beginning of the 40s, and as I said, only later on when he began to study the Revelation more deeply, he came suddenly across this 16th chapter, And in reading the 16th chapter, he could suddenly see that the Revelator did the same thing at this point. That the moment he had to show how the vials were pouring out the blessing of God that and were destroying the seven plagues of evil, that the Revelator did it in the inverted word order. And so he had also here, with many other things, the inward certitude that these things were born of God, that he didn't make them up, that it wasn't a premeditated aspect or concept of metaphysics, but that it was actually so that he could, that he caught, so to say, the song of song, that he caught the song of the synonymous term from being itself, and was led to make that step from the word order to the inverted word order when dealing with error and showing the nothingness of error and proving it. So this is another instance that also is important for us to see, because it gives us a very certain sense that what we are studying here and the whole structure that we are seeing here in Revelation and in Christian Science are actually things that do not come from a human teacher, because he may be mistaken, but that they come from God, because God is never mistaken, as we have seen before. And so from that point on, he was teaching us also how to use that inverted word order, namely from the throne of grace. Yes.